While prayer is being offered reverently, because we're going to God's Word at this time, and the presence of the Lord is here to touch everyone who needs a touch today. If you have your Bible, we're still on the subject, and it fits in, at least in my understanding, it fits in to a Holy Communion Sunday. We want to continue this message of winning the race and receiving the crown. Everyone in here needs an incentive to serve God with everything you are and everything that you have. If you don't have that holy incentive, you're going to find yourself in a stagnant spiritual state. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world, and there's no way that you can really follow Jesus Christ in this, particularly this end time generation, this culture, unless you commit yourself with a deep devotion and dedication to do that. Devotion will bring the necessary disciplines. I never put discipline in front of devotion, because then it's just a duty and a job. It's not a joy and an opportunity. But when devotion comes, it's a joy. It's an opportunity. Someone said, find a job that you love and you'll never have to work another day in your life. Amen? Amen? If you find a job that you love. Most of us don't necessarily love our job. I used to really put this little thing to myself, take this job and love it. Amen. Can you say amen? There's another rendition of that we don't want to talk about here today. Most people have the other attitude, because they're working because they have to in a job that they're not necessarily happy doing. But serving Jesus should be a joy instead of a job. An opportunity and a privilege over top of a duty. The wonderful thing about it is, when you serve Him out of deep devotion and dedication, the disciplines, prayer is a discipline. Fasting is a discipline. But when you get in the presence of God and you don't want to leave, it's not just a discipline. It's a devotion that holds you in His presence and makes you want to have that sacred time with Him. I love that song that says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Have you ever tried to pray for an hour, and you pray for 5 minutes, and then you don't know what to say? Well, prayer is not just talking to God the full hour. Some of it is listening to God. In effect, just sitting in His presence and focusing upon Him. Amen. Just staying with Him for a little while. And after a while, you'll begin to think of more things that you need to say to Him and more people that you need to bring before Him. The Bible actually says to pray without ceasing. And it doesn't mean to never say anything else but prayer, because you couldn't put your order in at the Golden Corral, can you, or wherever you go. I don't know. You couldn't talk to one another. Amen. I love what Brother Taylor said. He called his wife. He said, my sweetheart, my sweetheart, my sweetheart. It's so good to see. How many years have y'all been married? 27 this June. I was privileged to marry this man and this woman. We tied the knot good and tight. But it takes two, doesn't it? It takes two. But when you're in love with one another, there's a devotion that comes to one another. When you fall in love with God, it's not hard to serve Him. And that's why Jesus looked out at this religious system that was in place, that was a heavy burden to bear on everyone. They were demanding disciplines without devotion. Demanding disciplines without devotion. And when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's a pressure. There was no joy in it. It was void of the love of God. The very people that should have been showing and demonstrating the love of God and the love for God, when they came by a man who had fallen among thieves, because he wasn't a Jew and he wasn't of that religious sect, they walked right by him. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. Amen. And Jesus pointed out that emptiness, and he said, you're talking about God. You got the word of God from the old covenant, but you don't know God. If you knew my Father, you would have recognized me immediately, because I came out from Him. When religion doesn't even know the God that they're trying to tell others about, it becomes something that man is so involved in, and man will put a trip on you. Amen. Man will put a trip on you. When it came to giving, our incentive for giving was so God wouldn't get us for not giving. That's not a very good incentive for giving. Because it doesn't necessarily come from the heart. It doesn't come from the heart. Remember the song? He will set your fields on fire. If the sin is your desire. That comes from an Old Testament story that was true. A king invited this man to come into his chambers. He wanted to have a talk with him. And the man sent a message back to the king, and you really don't do that to a king. I got to get my crops in. I can't leave my fields. I'll come when I get my crops in. The king was insulted. So the king said, tonight, go and set those fields on fire. Set every one of them, burn them to the ground. And that excuse for not coming into my presence will be taken away. So here was the deal. I'm from Kentucky, and we used to sing it this way. He will set your... Yeah. Oh, here comes the colloquialisms. He will set your fields on fire if the sin is your desire. Can you say amen? So we understood, you know, early on in our Christian walk that, and then the other incentive, and people would put it in more eloquent terms, they would say, God's going to get his. You know, if I didn't know that I was giving to God, I might buy into that and say, that's why my water line broke and cost $2,300 to repair. And I understand for what they did, that was a very good price. Amen. For what they really had to do. It's incredible. Listen very carefully. The incentive that God wants you to have to serve Him is reciprocal love. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. We're loving Him back for loving us. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. That discipline is born out of devotion. And without the devotion, it's just a duty and a responsibility. And we're walking around like robots trying to make ourselves do the right thing, and our heart isn't in it. And the Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your whole heart into it, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. For you shall be rewarded of the Lord Christ. My last day when I went into full-time ministry over 50 years ago. Wow, that's been a long time. Over 50. Can you imagine, Terry? Over 50 years ago, I worked for Tampa Electric on a line crew. When it came time to leave Tampa Electric, I did what I always did. Amen. The Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. They paid me for a job to be done. I didn't have to sweep out my truck on my last day on that job. But I swept it out anyway. Last day on the job, I was up in the back of my truck, sweeping it up, getting it ready for the next day. It was on a Friday. That was my last day. I turned in my 2-week notice. Two linemen came walking by my truck, and they looked and said, isn't this your last day? I said, yes, it is. What are you doing in the back of that truck sweeping it out? This was my last day. I wouldn't be up in there sweeping it out. Why are you doing that? I said, because the Bible said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. You'll be rewarded of the Lord Christ. Nobody inside knew what I was doing outside, but God knew. Can you say amen? God knew. When it becomes a joy instead of a job, you won't see so many Christians sitting around trying to be spiritual with long faces. If you think you're spiritual and you don't have any joy, you better check yourself, because something is wrong. We see it clearly in some of the little signs and cliches that are around today. If you're happy, notify your face. You know what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs? You know what it said? It said the eyes of him who is joyful rejoices the heart of others. Don't you love to... who's that guy that won an Academy Award and did that song? I like his song. I like the song because the Bible said happy. Everybody say happy. Happy is the man who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. If you have God in your corner, God's personal commitment to never leave you nor forsake you, God's promise that if you'll call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and thou shalt glorify me. And one of the ways you glorify him is living a life that says, my happiness is not based on happenings like the world's. Amen. My happiness is based on the promise of God, amen, to be with me no matter what happens. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And to make everything, the good, bad, and the ugly, work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Happy is the man. Say it with me. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. If you see sad people that are bound and beleaguered and beaten down all the time, amen, they're not using their faith to trust in the Lord who promised to help them. I want to feel sorry for those folks, but they don't need pity. They need victory. How many know they need victory? They don't need pity. It's not that we don't care. We do care. But God has promised victory. And we need to get rid of this victim attitude. So many people are bound up in inside of religious walls where there's no freedom and there's no liberty and there's no faith and there's no victory. And they've got a victim attitude. I preached with a man in Merritt Island and we preached, took turns preaching revival services. We pray they became revival services. Must have been revival because the whole back row became filled with Catholic nuns. In their habit. What do you call a habit? They were in their full array. They filled the whole back row. Two rows of the back was filled with Catholic nuns. What was a bunch of Catholic nuns doing in a Pentecostal church? Well, really, it wasn't full-blown Pentecostal as we know it. It was a Baptist church where the pastor had received the Holy Ghost. And begin to look at things differently. And they come because they were hungry for more. And I'm not, this is no aspersions against their Catholicism per se. Although there's a lot of things we can't agree with. This is saying that in any church, any denomination, where the presence and power of God is not encountered in those services, it's leaving people empty. Because man-made religions, no matter how wonderfully organized and presented, will not take the place of the presence and power of God in your life. Can you say amen? There's nothing that can take the place of his power and his presence in your life. So, I asked one of them, are they really told someone else? And I asked them, what were they doing here? What was their incentive for being here? Because they said they had heard that there was more. There was more. There was more. Sister Pat, I'm going to use you as an example again. Wherever you are, you're right there with the baby. Came to church when church was called off. I came to church to tell anybody that didn't know church was called off, that church was called off. And she said, you know, I'm not always here on Sunday night, but I want some more. Amen. She knows how to say more. She said, I want some more because that's what I say about spiritual hungry. Amen. If God's got something else for me, I want some more. If it's good, I want some more. On the day of Pentecost, they wanted more. And Jesus told them, don't you budge until you get more. Don't you just tear off in your own strength. Don't you just tear off with your own energy. Don't you just tear off and try to win the world with your own ingenuity. You tarry at Jerusalem for one reason, until you be endued with power from on high. Can you say amen? There's no Bible college. There's no Bible learning. There's no eloquence of speech that can take the place of the appointing and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a friend of mine had a doctor's degree. And I didn't know he had a doctor's degree. That he had finished and got a doctorate in theology from a Bible college. But I saw his minister's license in a frame one day. And I said, I didn't know that you had a doctor's degree, because out beside his name it said D.D. Is that what doctor's degree? Doctor? Doctor of Divinity. And I thought, this is an educated man. Who'd have thunk it? Can you say, man? I had no idea. He didn't use the big words. He didn't present himself, you know, with that kind of eloquence and that kind of knowledge and that kind of status. And he said, well, he said, when God first called me to preach, I wanted to get a good biblical education under me. That's a good thing. So he went to Bible college and he graduated summa cum laude. Does that mean the top of his class? Summa cum laude, I dedicated, or was prayed a dedication prayer of a bunch of Bible graduates at a Bible school. And I said, some of you have graduated summa cum laude, and the rest of you have graduated, thank the good Lord. Can you say amen? You got through it. Amen. They didn't know how to take me. They still don't know how to take me. I've never been invited back, but I thought it was I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm sorry. I'm happy. I want to stay happy. I'm not always happy. Sometimes I need help from God. Amen. Amen. Because happenings are not always good. But if I look to the Lord, He keeps His promise. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not glad that my... Can I say my water broke? That's what came to my mind. It's my water line that broke. I said, that preacher's so crazy. I just love to go down there. Nobody knows what he's going to say next. Can you say amen? I'm not glad my water line broke. But I'm glad that God told the plumber what to do to fix it. I'm not glad it cost so much, but I'm glad God promised that He would meet all of my need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. My happiness is not based on happenings at any given time, but a God that says, no matter what happens, I'm with you. And I will cause everything, including those things, to work together for good to them that love me and are called according to my purpose. He said He's able to subdue. That means He's Lord of everything. Lord of all. And He's able to subdue everything to Himself. That means no matter what the devil and his minions do, He's able to take that and subdue it to His own eternal will and purpose in spite of that bad happening. Amen. And out of that bad, good can come. And that's, Joseph knew that about God. And when he was under his father's blessing and God's blessing, his brethren got jealous of him. They took him out to an empty cistern that they couldn't hold water anymore. This deep hole with clay lining it in the ground that when it rained, they caught that rainwater. And they threw him in. They were going to kill him dead. But one of them said, well, we don't want his blood on our hands, so let's just let him die out there. We didn't shed no blood. Just take him out there, throw him in the cistern. You know the story of Joseph. Amen. He's out there in that cistern. One of his brothers says, you know, if we leave him there, he'll die and we'll still have blood on our hands. We can make some money off the boy and still get rid of him. Yeah. Isn't that a great brethren to have around you? Yeah. Jealous because of the blessing that was on him. So they went and got him out. They found a caravan headed for Egypt, and they sold him as a slave, their own brother. He got out into Egypt. I'm going to tell you something. God's blessing on your life is not based on what happens. His promise to do good to you, no matter what happens, God is able to keep it. He ended up being sold to a rich man by the name of Potiphar. He brought him home, and this guy, under God's blessing, everything his hand touched began to prosper. And he put him in charge of his entire household as his most trusted servant. And Potiphar prospered because he had a slave by the name of Joseph working for him. And he trusted him enough to put him in charge of his whole house. And God's blessing was intact no matter where he went. In those bad circumstances, the blessing of the Lord became apparent. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then he trusts him so much he can leave on business trips and leave him in charge. But there was his wife. It was a very amorous woman. And she came to Joseph. See, if you want drama, you don't have to turn on as the stomach turns. Amen. Or you don't have to turn on if you want all kinds of innuendo. Just read the true Bible stories. You don't have to look at the young and the useless. You can find other places for that drama and get some truth out of it. Can you say amen? It's not that young people are useless. You know, it's a parody about soap operas. She comes to Joseph and she's direct and distinct. Temptation is aggressive. Before I got saved, I went out hunting sin every weekend. Don't look at me so pious, so did you. I looked for sin. When I got saved, those opportunities I was looking for presented themselves to me without me looking for it. So that's why the Bible said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Not escapes it, but endures it. For he shall receive the crown of life that God has promised to all of them that love him and serve him. That's James chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to me very carefully. Without this happiness, how are you going to run this race? My wife met a guy at Sam's Club last night. We had to pick up some things. We went to Sam's Club in Lakeland. And there was a guy at the courtesy counter. And he was smiling. And he was happy. And it so impressed my wife to find in the midst of those long lines and all of these people bringing stuff back and complaining, a happy employee. And she asked him, she had to ask him, said, you must have just got here. You're still so happy. You must have not been on the job very long. See, customer service is not necessarily a position that's going to make you very happy. Dealing with customers is not fun. Anybody here ever have a job where you had to deal directly with customers? Wow. His customers are students and parents of students. He's caught between the parents and the students and the principal of the school. He's sandwiched right in the middle of all of that. And if he doesn't find the joy of the Lord, if he doesn't find God's help, he can't go to church happy. And if he can't go to church happy, can't go to school happy, and if he don't come in there happy, Lord help those students. Can I get an amen? This guy was happy, and he was happy because he was thankful. He said, I'm glad I have a job. And he said in earshot of the other people back there, I love working with the people I work with. That's gratitude. He was thankful. And because he's seen his blessings and not just gazing constantly upon all the things that could get him down. He was happy. It's linked to being thankful. That's what this entire communion service is about. It's God's people thanking God for Jesus and thanking Jesus for what he did on the cross in our behalf. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the commitment that God has made. The God of heaven, the God of the universe, come down in flesh, has said to you and me, when you become his child, I'll never leave you. It turned cowards into courageous men of God that were willing to not only stand up for him, but lay down their life for him. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to shaky, scared to death men with calls on their life. And he told them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They said, in other words, if you're going with us, then we're not afraid to go. And it was that promise of His presence, no matter what happens, that made them go forth not even knowing what was going to happen. One of them knew exactly how what was going to happen to him for preaching the gospel. And his name was Simon Peter. And when he fell in love with the Lord, everything changed. I'm Pentecostal. All of my life I was told that it's when he got the Holy Ghost that it all changed. The Holy Ghost is to the believer what a phone booth was to Clark Kent. Amen. Amen. Suddenly we got these supermen and superwomen. You know what changed Peter? You know what held him in commitment to Christ? Reciprocating love. Responding to his love like he had never known. Didn't believe he could ever receive. Who was the one that failed Jesus so miserably? Simon Peter. So vocally did he deny him. He swore with an oath. He stood in the comfort of that Lord's Supper, that first Lord's Supper. And Jesus was talking about people betraying him. And he said, they might. I don't really trust them. They might. Any one of them might betray you, but I won't. You can count on me. He was making a commitment, but it wasn't born out of love for the Lord. That's beyond the religious brand of just making a mental, disciplined commitment. The devotion wasn't there yet. And what God wanted from him was devotion. He wanted it to come from the heart. Not just from the head. He wanted it to come from the heart. Not just doing things. See, the Old Testament said, come let us reason together, saith God. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Red like crimson, they shall be as snow. If you be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. No, it doesn't start with obeying. It starts with the will. It begins with the heart. It starts with devotion before discipline. If you be willing... I always tell you the story of little Johnny. It just fits. Every story about little Johnny just seems to fit. Little Johnny's acting up in class. Teacher says, Johnny, go stand in the corner until I said you to sit down. That was his punishment for acting up in class. He goes and stands in the corner, and she hears him mutter under his breath, I'm sitting down on the inside. I'm sitting down on the inside. Because he didn't want a whipping from the principal. He stood where she told him to stand. But in his spirit, he's sitting down on the inside. Can you say amen? He's only standing up on the outside. God said it's not enough to just do it as a religious act. It's got to come from the heart. That's why worship is qualified or disqualified. Not based on what's going on in the church or whether we're singing with them or not, but where it's coming from. Our head or our heart. Anyone can sing along with the choir, but only a person filled with true gratitude and love for God can sing from the heart. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, amen, that a lady came to him. Really, the woman that came to him was the woman at the well. She met Jesus at Jacob's well. She came to draw water. His disciples went on into the town. He said, I'm too tired. I'm too weary. I'm going to rest in the shade of Jacob's well until you come back with something to eat. She saw him and he said, woman, give me to drink. She started drawing water, and the Bible said she was shocked that he, being a Jew, would speak to her, being a Syrophoenician, because they considered everyone that wasn't a Jew dogs, Gentiles, way beneath them. And here's this man asking her to do an act of service, not as a slave, just a request. Woman, give me to drink. So she starts drawing water from the well. And in her shock, she hears him say, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you knew who it was that said unto you, give me here to drink, you would ask of me, and I'd give you living water, and you would never thirst again. Not only did he know her need, he told how he could meet that need if she would trust in him. And then he told her her life to explain this living water in place of this physical water and what he could offer her. And he said, you've had five husbands. See, when you're looking for fulfillment outside of God and outside of Christ, you will never find it in this world. You'll never find it in power and prestige. You'll never find it in a person. Now, my wife does complete me physically and emotionally, but only God can complete me spiritually. And the wonderful thing about it is when God completes me, I don't put such a demand on her to do what only He can do. I went to a Jesus crusade back in the 80s, and there was a guest speaker, a prominent speaker. He was up there telling about a man that came to him that left his wife, Christian man, leader, left his wife and married this lady that was much younger than himself. Of course, he wouldn't marry anyone. You know, he had to have a, you know. And so he asked him, he said, why are you doing this? You know it's unbiblical. You know your wife stood by you all of these years. You know you're supposed to be committed to your wife. Why have you done this thing? And he said, because she fulfills me. She fulfills me. Anytime a Christian leader is willing to violate his marriage vows, violate the faith, looking for fulfillment, he doesn't know Christ and what he has to offer. He may have been preaching Christ, but he doesn't know who he is and what he has to offer. He's certainly not drinking from the streams of living water. I love that song, don't you? Drinking from the streams of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Woo! Hallelujah. What a boon against temptation. If I'm happy in the Lord, I'm satisfied because He's filling that vacuum in my soul. And I'm happy. The Bible said to live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. The one you married, committed yourself to when you're young. Live your whole life joyfully with her. I've been married for 51 years and counting. We're getting ready to celebrate 52. Brother Venable, you must live a charmed life. There must be no mountains. There must be no problems and pressures. Oh, how wrong you are. Amen. Is it still deer season? Is it over? Well, I'm glad I didn't shoot none. No, there's no deer in my neighborhood. I don't shoot deer anyway. But anyhow, I saw in the funny paper. Yes, I do read the funnies sometimes. But you too? The two leading officials in this church read the funnies. I'm glad you do. He knows his Bible, though. Amen. Listen to me carefully. In Farside, it's hunting season. It says hunting season opens today on a tree. And there's, of course, the deer are standing up having a conversation. And one big buck is standing up with big old antlers. And he's got a target right on his chest, a red target, the rings and the centerpiece and all, right on his breastbone. And the other one's looking at him. Hunting season opens today. He said, bummer of a birthmark, Earl. Amen. Bummer of a birthmark. I'm going to tell you, you set yourself to preach the gospel, you have got a target on you. Your wife has a target on her. Your household has a target on it. Can you say amen? Because the devil don't like someone telling you what God can do, what He will do, what Christ has done in your behalf. Can you say amen? He will fight tooth and toenail. and he's never going to give up fighting. I do not expect it to be easy. I do not expect everything to smooth out, but I expect God's help every time that I need it, every time that I trust him and call on him. I expect him to come through. Every time our marriage is under pressure, I expect God to heal the breach, to keep us from being disunified. I expect our marriage to last until death do us part. Not until the devil do us in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the key, brother? Well, the key is the key to all victory in life. It's Jesus and him crucified and all that he promised to be and all that he promised to do. And he's keeping his promise in me and he's keeping his promise in my wife. Now, if she decides to leave, I can't do a thing about that. But if she decides to keep following Jesus, then she's going to have to put up with me. Oh, and I'm going to have to put up with her too. And we're not just going to put up with one another. We're going to forgive one another. Bear one another's burdens. Help one another. Encourage one another. Because a miracle occurs at a Christian marriage. The two. You know, we got your teaching specialty is mathematics. Two and two. One and one are not two anymore, spiritually. One and one, the answer isn't two, spiritually. Not in marriage. The twain shall become one flesh. Hallelujah. Only God can unite people, not just physically and emotionally and mentally, but unite them spiritually. Amen. And when he does it, when it's in righteousness and trust in him, and that spiritual event occurs, a three-stranded cord, the man, the woman, and God, hallelujah, is not easily broken. Can you say amen? So this guy thought he'd take the easy way out. And here you are with all of these young people out there, and you want to put it blunt and you want to put it plain. So he said, I looked at him and I told him. He said, why are you doing this? You know better. You know what the scriptures teach. She's been loyal to you and you're bailing out. He said, yes, but she fulfills me. Isn't that baloney? That's a big bunch of baloney. You can't just break all these commitments because you're looking for fulfillment. When Jesus stands and says, if you knew who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you what you are longing for and looking for through sin, and you'll never find. But I understand why you're looking. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. But that stops right here at this well today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. John's Gospel, chapter 4. He said, you've had five husbands, and now she's given up on marriage. All of these broken relationships. And listen, every broken relationship leaves pain and destruction in its path. And she was a broken woman, and she was ostracized even by her own. And Jesus said, the man you're living with, he's not even your husband. So this is number six. And no fulfillment. No fulfillment. Because fulfillment doesn't begin with finding the right person, but finding what only God can do in your life. Billy Graham said it best when he said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And only God can fill that emptiness, that loneliness, that need for completeness. In fact, the scripture said of Christ, you are complete in him. Can you say amen? See, this is not just going to church and adopting a catechism and a creed. This is going to church to drink from the streams of living water. Can you say amen? Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. It's hard to tempt you for something else when you're satisfied. How many ever had turkey for Thanksgiving? How many ever had turkey the day after Thanksgiving? However many had turkey the day after Thanksgiving? How many ate so much turkey that you wasn't hungry for turkey no more? You wanted some pork chops. You wanted some steak. You wanted a Big Mac, but no more turkey. It's good for a while. Listen, I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving for me used to be, it's not this way anymore because I can't afford to do it, but used to, Thanksgiving was an all-out, eat all you can hold. I mean, you know, just jump in there and gobble till you wobble. That was my attitude to Thanksgiving. And I did it, brother. I knew how to do it. I eat and eat and eat till I couldn't hold no more. Take me a nap on the couch. Get up. Go wandering back in the kitchen and get me another plate. Warm it up just a little bit. Big as the plate I ate. Fill up on that plate. Watch a movie on television. Decide, you know something? There's 4 deviled eggs left. And I love them deviled eggs. I know over at your house you don't eat anything deviled. Amen. You just eat angel food cake and no deviled eggs, no devil food. We prayed over them deviled eggs. I want you to know that. Sanctified it with the word and prayer. I go back and eat those deviled eggs. Just kind of like a snack. You know? Drink some more tea. Look, Lord have mercy, if pumpkin pie left too. I'll eat me another piece of pumpkin pie. There's some white meat turkey. I love white meat turkey. I eat me some more of that turkey. I'm going to tell you, if someone had came to me at midnight that night and said, "Hey, Bob, you want some more turkey?" No. Why? Why wouldn't I want good, wonderful turkey? Because I have filled to the limit. I am filled up. See, this is the way you overcome temptation. It's not as simple as just saying no. It's getting full. It's getting filled up. It's letting God fill you up to where the devil says you need this. You say, "Oh no, you're very wrong. I'm satisfied. I'm not just sanctified. I'm satisfied." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus has satisfied the deepest longing of my soul. He knows why you sin. And instead of just telling you to quit sinning, He offers you something to satisfy that the devil is appealing to. Hallelujah. Woo! He said, "Woman, if you knew who said unto you, 'Give me to drink,' if you come back to this well, you'll come back again and again and again. That thirst will never be completely quenched. But if you would ask of me, if you knew who it was and knew what I had to offer and what I'm able to do in your life, you would ask of me. You would ask of me. And I would give you something more than religion can ever do. Can you say, men of the world can ever do? I'll give you living water. And you will never thirst again. It will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul." Amen. That woman, amen, evidently received the living water because she tore off back into her town and of all the women to carry the gospel to her people. Amen. But she come and said, "Come and see a man." Not come and join a church, come and follow this preacher, come and join this organization. None of them, none of the above. They can point you to Christ, but only Christ can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Can you say amen? There's a movie I never saw, but it's the title fits a lot of people. Desperately Seeking Susan. I don't know who Susan was, but I know she was desperately seeking a relationship. That's the basis for all those movies. Desperate. When you get desperate because God isn't filling that place, you're going to look everywhere but the right place for fulfillment. Oh yeah, you'll find somebody. But you need to wait on the Lord. You need to pray. You need to seek God till you get His permission and His person for you. If you're desperate, Remember the Three Stooges? Anybody? That Three Stooges. One of the Three Stooges programs. They'd gotten into this guy's harem. Larry, the one that plays the fiddle with the bushy hair, he was laying back in a lady's lap. She was feeding him grapes. Oh, he's laying his head back. She's feeding him grapes. And he looked up at her and he said, "You're my kind of girl. A woman." You don't get that? Take a while. In other words, if I can just find a female. You look for a life partner. If you're male, you need to find more than a female. You need to find a soulmate. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. And if you're a woman looking for a man, you don't just need to find a male that has the physique. You need to find a soulmate. Somebody that will commit himself to you till death do us part. And if you're a Christian, you need to find somebody that's first before committed to you, because the only way he can keep a commitment to you is if he's first committed to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Say, Brother Venable, I don't know many Christian men. Well, I know it's getting tough to find Christian anybodies, even in the church. But there's a few people that love him. There's a few people that are sold out. There's a few people that will not go back. There's a few people that say that Jesus is more important, amen, than some sensual, sexual, momentary relationship that's going to be broken by the next person that comes along. Amen? Christ fulfills. That's why Pamela fulfills. Because I don't demand of her what only God can give. She doesn't have to be my everything. She's my soulmate. And we cooperate and complement one another. And the divorce rate, and if you're divorced, God will forgive that. He can restore you. But here's what I'm saying. There is victory in Jesus. We're looking around today at Christian leadership. The divorce rate among pastors is right up there with the world. Statistically. There's no speculating about this. And see, we're not told to just be a lord over God's heritage. You've met those guys. They're using their office to get rich and to lord over people. But the Bible said you've got to be an example to the flock. This is not about the anointing. This is not about the leader of a church. This is about someone that can demonstrate. Amen. Brother Remember, you bragging? No, I'm telling you, there's victory in Jesus. Every pastor should have a relationship. Now, if she decides to bail out, there's nothing I can do about it. But the problem is, we've made it socially, spiritually, culturally acceptable in the Christian community to bail out if we don't like it. And what happens to the flock? If he can do it, talk in tongues and preach and prophesy, so can I. I'm going to tell you why that I get down on these things, and I come down on it hard as we close today and get ready for Holy Communion. So a lady attended our church. Her husband was a friend of my dad's. They played music together. He had a speech impediment. He had some mental disability. But he was a good-hearted man. And he worked hard. He wasn't spiritual in the sense of leadership. But I don't doubt that he loved God. But his wife had aspirations of being an evangelist. And she found a man that prophesied and spoke in tongues. And she decided, this is my personal experience. It's what I have seen. That's why I don't back up when I bring truth. That's why I don't compromise what the Bible says. Say, Brother Bibble, I don't like what that says. Well, take it up with him who wrote the book. Can you say amen? Don't take it up with me. Because if you take it up with me, I'm going to point you right back to the book in him. I will go on record as saying I believe in him. And I believe his word is true. And I believe you can go to another church, but I believe you're going to meet him one day in judgment. Can you say amen? You can run from me. You can run from the word. And there are churches that will not bother you, I guarantee you, because there's people comfortable in their sin in those churches. But you can't run from God. Be sure. Your sin, my sin, be sure. Make no mistake about it. It'll find us out. Can you say amen? Because there's nothing hid from the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Nothing. Since he knows it, let's don't cover it up. Since he knows all about it and still loves us and wants to forgive us and restore us, let's don't conceal it. Let's do what he said to do. Having a zeal for repentance. Hallelujah. If forgiveness is available through repentance, then for heaven's sakes, let's get forgiven and get restored. Hallelujah. Amen. Many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hallelujah. And I'll make you a pillar in the house of my God. I'll establish you and you'll quit falling and failing. Listen carefully. I hate to tell this story. It's negative, but it's got to be told. Because there are people in here that think if someone can prophesy, if they can speak in tongues, amen, without serving God, that somehow or another God is approving of their life, that God is with them. She wanted to lay hands on people and did. She wanted to prophesy over people and did. So she decided. She said she had prayed and God had shown her this man and told her that he would be more important to her in ministry than her husband. And she was to leap. Now see, that's all unbiblical, so it can't be God talking to her. But when you start prophesying and speaking in tongues and you don't even listen to the preacher because you're looking for an opportunity to do something yourself, to be seen and elevated, then the word of God will quit affecting you. You will exempt yourself from conviction. You won't even be teachable anymore. Because you're ready to tell everybody what they need. My Bible said before you tell anybody anything. Jesus said before you try to cast the mote, the little piece of dust. That's what a mote is. A little piece of dust in your brother's eye. You got a little piece of dust right there. Let me get that for you. It said, get that beam. Everybody say beam. That big cross piece up in the rafters. You got to first get the beam out of your own eye. And then you can see more clearly how to get the mote out of your brother's eye. Because you don't come in a condescending way. You don't come in, I'm up here and you're way down there and you better listen to me. You come with compassion. You come with understanding. You come trying to restore such a one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because you understand, except for the grace of God, there go I. That could be me. I'm not above falling. I'm not above failing. I'm not above. Only the grace of God is keeping me. Can you say amen? But she refused any counsel. She's hearing from God now. She's bypassing the scriptures and getting direct revelation. And it's against the word of God. She divorces her husband. She marries this guy. They hook up ministerially. And back in that day, if you talk in tongues, you prophesy, they didn't care what your background was. They're getting in your line. This was our Pentecostal weaknesses. We didn't demand the fruit of the Spirit. We just wanted the gifts of the Spirit. We didn't care about Christ-likeness. We just cared about the power and the anointing. So people lined up to have this man. And they were powerful together in a false, because it had to be false. They got a hold of the wrong spirit. They got out of line with God, but they prophesied over people, thus saith. They spoke in other tongues. And you can do that without God if you get a hold of the wrong spirit. That's why God requires more than come tie my bow tie. Can you say, man, He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Listen carefully. That marriage went good. They had revivals booked all the way up into Georgia, the Carolinas. They were ready to go for God. This guy's sitting there without his wife, but she's found the man. She said, God sent her. God gave her permission. All against His word. But prophesy. And people come into church, getting in line, willing to accept all of that junk in order to get that word that they wanted instead of the word that is written. See, if those people went to Bible study and went to church, I don't care what they were doing spiritually, they would have said, something's wrong here. I'm not getting in that line. I'm not going down there. Amen? So, the enemy then, now that he had her messed up and deceived, then this guy began to be mean to her. He began to beat her. And she wanted out of that marriage. She wanted out of that mess. But she was in it real deep. Because their ministry flourished as a team. As the man and the woman ministering in the so-called gifts of the Spirit. She left him and went to live in a little mobile home with her son. He came looking for her. She locked him out. He pried the door open on that mobile home. He walked in with a pistol aimed at her. Her son put his hand out. He shot, went through her son's hand and into her body, killed her dead. Tongue talking. Lay hands on. Evil spirits will parrot God. Don't think you can live in rebellion and sin and not give place to the devil simultaneously. That's why it's not enough to talk in tongues. You got to follow Jesus when you leave this building. Can you say amen? Amen? Son called the police. He took off in his van down Highway 301, got down near where you turn to the Hillsborough River State Park, headed towards Zephyr Hills on 301. That's where the Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department caught him. And when they pulled him over, he knew there's no way out. The thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you what He gave the woman at the well. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Had that woman been fulfilled in Jesus and not had to be some great prophetess and been a good wife to her husband, God might have used her in some mighty way. But she had to have it now her way. And it opened the door for deception and destruction in her life. This man took that gun, put it to his temple, and pulled the trigger and killed himself beside 301. These are the people that many Pentecostals would have got in their life. Because they're so anointed. And this is why you got a pastor here that gives you warning. That gives you warning. That gives you warning. Believe not, brethren. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Can you say, man, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How do you do that, preacher? I'm glad you ask. Amen. You do it. You put it up to the test of God's holy word. Even if an angel come. Hey, man, listen. Even if an angel come. Even if an angel come. Even if an angel enters the room. I'm not talking about this red jumpsuit guy with a pitchfork and horns, but a glowing, glorious angel walks in with something contrary to the word of God. Let him, the angel, be anathema. Under God's strongest curse and consternation. Let him be accursed. And if we're going to judge angels' doctrine, we better judge preachers and prophetesses. Amen? So I require anybody I receive from to be living a life. I want to know about their life, not about their anointing nor their appointing. I want to know what kind of life they're living. I want to know about their marriage. I want to know about, I want to know about their walk. One of the requirements for ministry is being of good report to them without. That means that cashier checks you out. Ought to be able to say, now there's a patient person right there. There's somebody that's not ugly. I went to the dry cleaners. I went to the dry cleaners when we moved to Plant City 21 years ago. And she saw my preacher clothes and she said, are you a minister? I said, yes, I am. I'm a pastor. She said, can I ask you a personal question? One of our closest friends now that we made. She's still there and we're still coming. Amen. She said, aren't ministers supposed to be kind? I said, yes, ma'am. If we follow Jesus and represent him, we are. I said, we're not perfect, but kindness is one of those givens, you know, that you just. She said, well, we got a preacher that comes in here. Said every time he comes in, we look at each other. We try to duck so we don't want to wait on him. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I can't defend that. I'm sorry that he's misrepresenting Jesus. I said, I hope I can do a better job. And we've tried our best to do a better job. See, people just want to preach, talk about the anointing. They don't want to talk about fruit. The character of Christ. Goodness, meekness, kindness, peace, joy, love, temperance, patience, the character of Jesus being developed in us. We don't always get it right, but we repent when we get it wrong. I said something in the heat of battle at work. It got so when I was bivocational, boy, the pressure was on. I said, I didn't curse. I didn't do anything that I had to repent of. And that, it was the attitude that I had. I knew my attitude was wrong. And I told the guy beside me, I got to ask him to forgive me. He said, no, you don't need to do that. We all understand you're only human. Okay. Well, I am human. But I looked at him and I said, yes, but I'm a Christian also. And I want to be right with God when I leave here. Amen. And I want to be right with him. And I just prayed, Lord, let me see him. And I was getting ready to leave, and he come down the steps to the time clock. I was ready to ask forgiveness, and he looked at me, and he said, are you still mad at me? And I said, no, I'm not. In fact, I want you to forgive me. And you know what he said? He let me off the hook. He said, well, don't worry about it. You're only human. And I looked him back, and I said, yes, but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian human. I follow Christ. What I said wasn't wrong, but I said it in anger, and I am truly sorry. Boy, I was glad to get that off of me. Can you see, man? It felt so good to get it off of me because I knew what was going to happen. There's an accuser of the brethren. I was going to get down to pray over your need or my need or some big need, and the devil was going to show up and said, how dare you? And I like to disarm him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just disarm him. Take that away from him. As we close today with Holy Communion. How many people in this room want to be so filled with the truth and want your heart devoted to the Lord? You want to follow Jesus. Not out of duty or responsibility, but out of devotion because of what he's done for you. You want to be known as a follower of Jesus. Oh, they'll see your flaws. You will see them. You will struggle, and sometimes you will stumble and need to say, Father, forgive me, and need to ask someone for forgiveness. But you will get up, and you will go on. And that is victory. That is victory. That is victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the emphasis to me of this communion, in order to run with patience the race that's set before us, we need to achieve God's help. Ask Him. Be honest with Him. Say, Lord, help me to love those I don't love. Help me to forgive those that I hold this grudge against. Help me to follow You. In Jesus' name, He promised, call upon Me. The time of trouble, I will deliver you. Thou shalt glorify Me. Will you prepare your heart for Holy Communion today? Hallelujah. And brothers, would you serve us? Anyone here without Jesus and God is calling you, you're welcome to come at any time during the serving of communion and accept Christ as your Savior. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I don't know how many more years God will let me preach before I'm put out to pasture or go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you His whole truth as long as I have breath in my body. I don't want to see nobody destroyed or deceived or defrauded of what is yours in Christ in this room. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we love You today.